You've had a blessed week and you are learning much from the Lord and what he's teaching and showing us, because the Lord loves us. He's got his own family, his own people, and he's drawing us together unto himself, is he not? Let us just commit our time before his presence. Heavenly Father, remind us why we're here today. Remind us whom we've come to see and worship, whom we've come to listen to, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Cause each of us to just turn away from self, from the situations and the trials and the tribulations and all those things that are around us, and let us draw from your presence, your word, your love, your protection. Speak into our hearts, Father. For Lord, we have need of strength. We have need of looking up as our redemption draws near. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. And we commit it into your hands now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, welcome, everyone. I have, as usual, a title for us to consider. And we're calling our teaching today, Confession Reveals Your Belief in God's Word. Confession reveals your belief in God's word. I know I cover this quite a lot, and I've done a lot of teachings over the years with regard to our confession and our belief in the word of God. And here it comes up again, that the Lord wants us to have a teaching and study in this. And there is a reason, because there is power in our words. And we know that we can be also snared with our words. And our words have got to be influenced by our love and commitment with God, but also his word that we preach. The word that we read, the word that we meditate upon, because we're told that faith comes by hearing, reading, listening to this word. And so it's very, very important that our confession lines up with the word of God. You see, so often we're just taught that your confession as a Christian has to line up with God's word, Romans 10. And of course it does, but it's a lot, lot more than that. It's lining up with what he says, his promises, what he says about us, and so forth. And our confession and belief is vital, because we so often find ourselves up against spiritual warfare. We are up against the spiritual forces, the powers of darkness, and we have to speak against them. We have to defy what the enemy, the lies that he suggests in the mind, those doubts in the mind. This is why we put on the mind of Christ, the Word of God tells us. And our minds are being renewed as we fellowship with God, as we walk with him each day, as we pray in the Spirit, as we talk with him, so our minds are being renewed for the purpose to keep out the devil's lies and suggestions. And we have to learn this if we really want to break through with our walk, and in these last days that we live. I want us again just to familiarize ourselves with the confession of the children of Israel. It's recorded here in Numbers 13, and we'll take it up in the last verse of verse 33 and then go into chapter 14. This is recorded here because a nation that God called out of Egypt perished in the wilderness because they listened to the negative report of the spies that came back. And they said, it's a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. It's exactly what God has said and promised. However, there are giants, and we cannot take them. They are bigger than us. They are powerful. And we know that Joshua and Caleb, who were of another spirit and heart, said, yes, it's true, but we are well able to take the giants because God is with us, you see. And let's take it up in chapter 14 of Numbers, and verse 1, and it says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. The people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Listen to what fear and unbelief is saying. They have walked 40 years with God. Their shoes of their feet, under their feet, have not perished. God has kept them, restored them, looked after them, provided for them, fed for them. They saw more miracles than any other nation has ever seen or will ever see. And listen to what they say, it's better that we had stayed in Egypt or at least died in the wilderness. What a confession. You know, they threw it back in God's face, and we do this with our confession. And he says, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Listen to what fear is saying, how it's twisted in their minds. Where are they getting all of this from? That they're going to fall by the sword, and their wives and their children are going to be destroyed, become victims. And it's better that we return to Egypt. That's what fear does. That's why the Bible says fear hath torment. The torment is, it twists, it perverts. It creates greater fear and insecurity. And so they said, verse 4, one to another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. There now they are rebelling against God's leadership anointed. And they know by law, the law, they shouldn't do that. Then Moses said to Aaron and fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Notice the difference between those two. They're not leaders, but they are speaking faith, and their faith is giving them boldness. And that boldness is giving them authority to speak out against that unbelief. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. There they are appealing to the nature and heart of God. God is love, and God is going to provide. He's not going to see us destitute. And because they've seen what God has done, and they're influenced by that. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. You see, they were seeing by revelation How did they know that their protection had gone from them? They were seeing by faith, because our confession that lines up with God's word gives us a vision. It gives us faith. We see what the world doesn't see. But the children of Israel weren't seeing that. And all the congregation said to them, stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Look at the sin the children of Israel are doing. They're now going to stone them. They've learnt nothing over that 40 years. And then the story goes on. The Lord meets with Moses and so on. And he says, I'm going to raise up a new generation through Joshua and Caleb. And the children of Israel perished in the wilderness. They didn't make it in on the basis of what is coming out of their mouth. And this is why we're calling this teaching, Confession Reveals Your Belief in God's Word. And if you want to be sensitive to your confession and what comes out of your mouth, there's nothing better than asking God to make you sensitive to your words, to your speech. Am I speaking in this trial? Is my speech lining up with God, lining up with his heart, his nature, his love, a father who is devoted over us? That's the question. Because it's going to come up, brothers and sisters. This teaching that we're having will come up sooner or later in a trial or in a test. And that's why God gives us these teachings, for that reason, you see. Our trials are a good indicator to our confession of faith. And there are times we say things and we think, I shouldn't have said that. That's not right. That doesn't line up with God's word. That's not what the word of God says over me. And it's so easy to get drawn into conversations with family or friends or whatever it is, and out comes the negative, out comes the latest trial or physical trial or whatever it would be. And before you know, you're agreeing with them. You're talking about the same thing. I know I've been drawn into it, only to find myself when I come away, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned with my tongue. I have allowed my confession to be worldly, agreeing with them, and not lining up with what you have said in your word. That by your stripes I was healed at Calvary. My God will provide all my needs according to his riches in glory. And it just goes on and on. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We have to line this up with God's word. But you see, it's got to be in the heart, hasn't it? You see, it's as we view these things, do we see so often that fear and unbelief that hinders our confession. And you see, they couldn't hear what they were saying. That's the tragedy of the children of Israel. They actually couldn't hear what they were saying. They were so in fear, in unbelief, they were so frustrated and angry that they weren't even aware what they were saying. That's the tragedy. And we have been like that sometimes, until God has had mercy. And we've had to repent and come before him, that what I said didn't in any way line up with your word, Father. Didn't even line up with a God of love and mercy, a Father who loves me. You see, You see, if faith isn't in the heart, you don't hear. And that's why we have to keep with this. We need to keep coming, hearing, listening, getting this word into us. Otherwise, we don't even hear. You see, God presented a situation where they could decide to hear, but they chose not to. They instead listened to man, Joshua and Caleb. They listened to the spies. Instead of listening to Joshua and Caleb, who were speaking faith, who said that God now isn't with them. God is with us. They had discerned something in the spirit. But they closed to listen to these elders, these two men. And like unbelief, it wants to choose teachers who will say what we want to hear. And we have that today. And that's why your pulpits are filled in churches, because the people want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear their unbelief, their fears, their lies, because they still want to be like the world, but they want to call themselves Christians. Nothing changes. Nothing new under the sun. And that's why we have to watch our prejudices and wrong attitudes that can often get in the way of faith, you see. And I know what it can be like at times. It's so easy to slip with the tongue and to be worldly and to agree with the world. And we've all done it. What does it say in Matthew 13, verse 53 to 58? Matthew 13, 53 to 58. And here we see where Jesus is rejected by his own because of unbelief. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Couldn't do it. Because they're questioning who he is. They're getting the flesh in the way, the mind in the way. They couldn't hear what he was saying. They kept saying, "Oh, he's Mary's son. He's a carpenter. How come he's talking like this?" and everything. Couldn't hear. But you see, God has enabled us to hear by his mercy and grace. He's opened our ears and eyes and heart. And that's why we're so grateful, because flesh and blood does not reveal these things to us. Well, let's look at some areas then with regard to confession reveals your belief in God's word. Firstly, you can't change your confession if it isn't in your heart. Don't even attempt or try to do it unless it is in the heart. And the only way you know it's in the heart, when God tests us. For we know so clearly in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, which you know well, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So what goes on in your thinking, whether it's positive or negative, is connected with the heart, the person, the seat of the emotions, in other words. That's what it means. So our confession isn't going to change until we get this word in our hearts, which brings us to the parable of the sower. And we all know the parable of the sower. We've had many teachings over the years on it. But we know that the word is to be sown into the heart. And there are some ways that we can help with that process by walking with the Lord, yielding, obeying, just doing what he asks of us and not resist him. Keep in prayer, keep with the word, keep with the meetings, keep coming together, all of this. This is what gets that word into the heart. That is what sows it into the heart. You see, there are many who want to be Christian, but they don't want to pay the cost. And Jesus said it would cost us everything. And even that's a work of grace to help us. So there we see then how the heart is changed. And when the heart is changed with the word that's in it, then the mind, the thinking does. Because it says, as he thinks, why do I think like that? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves that question. Why have I got these attitudes? Why am I thinking like that? It's not right. It's not normal. Or whatever it is. And so the Holy Spirit begins to show. He begins to convict. Because he's going to wipe out that wrong negative thinking. Exactly the way you program a computer. If there is wrong information in the computer, it's going to come up until it's corrected. And so it's exactly the same with us spiritually. Sometimes you have to talk your faith through with God. You have to be in dialogue with him sometimes. Lord, change this thinking in my mind. It's wrong. It doesn't give you the glory. And God will then begin to close those doors into the mind where the enemy is buffeting and speaking and trying to hold you in fear and confusion. Well, secondly, looking at this, confession reveals your belief in God's word. Secondly, when the confession or faith is there, guard it. So I could say to you, with this word that we are hearing today, that's going into our hearts, being sown into our hearts, you have to guard it. The enemy's there and he wants to take it away. Remember, he doesn't like this word being preached, as you well know. So you have to guard it, because he's going to try and rob our faith, and he's going to try and alter our confession in order to do it. He's going to try and work your confession in unbelief to go against what you have heard and are learning in the Word of God. Isn't he subtle? So don't play his game. When you find he's trying to attack, your confession, rebuke him. Get thee behind me, Satan. God has given you the authority. He's given you the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. And you have to wield that against the powers of darkness that are trying to get you to alter your faith, your confession. Because once your confession starts to change, and if you don't deal with it, then your walk as a Christian gets weaker and weaker and weaker. and then you no longer walk with God anymore. You see, we become our own worst enemy because we've listened to the lies of the enemy. And I know the lies of the enemy at times can work through the closest of people to us. And even sometimes those that call themselves Christians. And yet, you know, at that point, you can't receive that. There's some of the real trials. But we have to look beyond that because we're not up against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, dominions. And that is where we have to take the authority. Yes, at times, even our closest, our loved ones, where their confession isn't lining up with God's word. You can't receive it. And thirdly, looking at this, confession reveals your belief in God's word. Thirdly, we look to Jesus and it's our commitment. And as we look to him in commitment, he secures our faith and confession. He is the one ultimately does it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he is my confession. He is my all. He is working that through me. And as he works that through me, there comes that rest of faith. Me not trying to strive and do it, but his power working on my behalf. And that comes by commitment, by walking with him each day, believing that he's with you, in you, and through you. And this secures our faith. This closes the door to fear and unbelief and what if and so on. Faith will always be challenged because it's free but not cheap. So we don't ever come to a place where we will not be challenged or the enemy will challenge our faith. No, we will have that right up to the time when the Lord comes. But the point is you're going to see more and more of yourself overcoming and putting the enemy to flight. That is the point. When you confess your faith, which lines up with God's word, you're not always aware of it at times. There are many things each day that we confess and don't think any more of it. Because we're confessing and lining up with the word of God. And so if my confession lines up with God's word, there are times that we're not aware of that because that's what we speak. That is what is in the heart. And there are other times the Holy Spirit is going to convict us because what is coming out of our mouth doesn't line up with God's word and promises. And that is the mercy and grace of God, you see. And I thank the Lord when he does that. I know it's hard sometimes. And sometimes you think, oh, am I ever going to get this right? It's taken me all these years. And here I am, I've confessed something like that. I should know better. But then when you get over all of that, you thank him that he loves you enough to not let that go, but to deal with it, you see. You're grateful because that's what a loving father does. There are times when he chastens us and rebukes us and disciplines us, and rightly so, because that is his love. That is his grip on us. He's not going to let us go. And when we cool down, after sulking and whatever it is, we find ourselves saying, thank you, Father. Praise you. You haven't let me go. Well, fourthly, looking at this confession, confession It brings possession. And that's the wonderful thing about it. That's why we keep confessing, believing, because it will bring that possession. In other words, you will experience it. You will be blessed by it, whatever you're believing for. Whatever's manifesting. And you see, if there is anger or fear, frustration or apathy that's coming out of us, then we're not going to possess what God has promised in his word. And if you find yourself getting angry, and we do at times, there are things in this world that just push you to the limit, to breaking point. And then, but you come back and say, Father, forgive me. That was wrong that came out of my mouth. That doesn't line up with your word. And he brings us back in focus. He brings us back confessing his word so that you can get possession. Confession brings possession. The word of God, the promises of God's word. As we stand on them, hold on to them, confess them, you see. And that's the point. But we're tried sometimes with them. And the reason, to the point of frustration, apathy, or that fear, or we just turn off, can't take any more. I know all about that one. It's just so easy. Just don't want to hear. I'm turning off. I've had enough. But then we find, no, that's not the way. And thank God for that. That's a clear sign God's got a grip on us and he ain't going to let us go. And that's why we can give him all the praise and all the glory, because he loves us. And finally, as we bring this to a conclusion, if you hear the negative, the unbelief, there's an opportunity to get it under the blood of the Lamb, and God will always work in us to get it right. And that's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If we confess or hear wrong confessions or whatever it is, Father, that is under the blood of Jesus, for I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So this is where, saints, we watch over our confession. And it starts by asking God to make us sensitive, to make me alert, to keep me on guard 24/7. Do that work in me, Lord, because I know, left to myself, I'm just going to confess like the world does, and I will never receive these promises that are in your word. We have to ask, and often we're asking for the wrong things. But when we start to ask for the right things, your Father is going to move heaven and earth to get your confession to line up with his word. And he'll do that. And you know, sometimes you find, as I close with this, that God quickens the word to you. Sometimes he quickens promises in his word. They just somehow, they stick out the page. It just highlights, it just comes out. And you know that God has shown you that personally. And that's for you. And that's going to come to pass in your life. I've had some blessings like that. And you hold on to them. And you don't let the enemy steal it from you. Don't let him steal any longer, brothers and sisters. He's a thief. He's a liar, a deceiver, a murderer. Don't confess his confession. But confess what God has said in his word. And stay with it. Doesn't matter how you feel, what you're going through, what the circumstances look like. It always looks bad. It's always negative. It always looks as though God has forsaken you. He's not with you. He's left you. But I'll tell you something. He's closer to you than ever you realize. Trust me. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Confession reveals your belief in God's word. Confess it. Line your heart, your confession up with the promises of God's word. Speak them out if need be. And tell the enemy he's a liar. That is not what God says. And you watch. You will begin to see you rising up in the power and might of the Spirit of God. And that's what it does, because confession brings possession.